You're listening to Inside My Victory with Kelly Stickle, a podcast on leadership, creativity, and building great churches. You can find Kelly online at kellystickle.com.
Hi, Victory Nation. Welcome to Inside My Victory, a podcast about the church, leadership, and creativity. I'm Pastor Gene.
And I'm Pastor Kelly. And you can follow along with this podcast and the notes we provide for you by going to my website, kellystickle.com.
And when you have questions you'd like us to answer or subject matter you would like us to dig into, please email us at leadership@myvictory.ca.
Yeah, I'd really encourage every leader, every pastor to take advantage of this. And if there's a question that's specific to your situation, you can email us that question. We would love to take it on. Again, you can email us at leadership@myvictory.ca.
Yes, we would. How are you, Pastor Kelly?
I'm doing great.
You have to be excited because you're about to release your audio version of your new book.
Yes, we're excited. This is the first time we've ever done an audio book. First time I've ever done an audio book, and it is, I think, it's a lot easier to write. To be quite honest, it's a lot of work to record an audio book, but I'm really excited about it because I think it's going to be. There's a lot of people that are using audiobooks, and I think this is great content that's going to translate really well.
Absolutely.
In an audio form. And so
I reread
your
book last week. I've read it before, but I reread it, and it's really pretty good. And I could almost hear you reading it, even though I'm reading the book.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of creepy, Kelly.
Well, it can be even more creepy now because now I can read it to you.
I know.
In the audio version.
So, well, as I've read it. Reread it last weekend. I think that I have a couple questions for you because I want to dig into some of your thoughts. There's some really good stuff in this book. It is. It was my number one book for last year. Remember?
Oh, yes, I do remember.
Make a note of that.
Yes.
So let's dig into a few things here that I think will be good. Are you ready?
I am ready, for
All
sure.
All right. In the chapter that you entitled, What You Give Focus To, You Give Power To, you write this statement, our heart thinking builds a fence line, and God will only farm to that fence line. Mm-hmm. Now, this chapter is really foundational for the entire book, but let's get into how you came across this analogy.
Yeah, I think I came across it from reading a scripture that really troubled me. In Psalm 78, David said this in reference to the Israelites, and he's talking the story of how they left Egypt and came to the promised land. He's recounting that in history, and he gets to verse 41, Psalm 78, and he says, they limited the Holy One of Israel. And that word limited jumped off at the page at me, and it really, I was really perplexed by that because the idea of human beings having the ability to limit the unlimited, limitless God really troubled me. And I thought, man, if they were able to limit God, am I able to limit God? Which led me down a whole Bible study, which basically has led to the book, is basically saying, you know, is it possible for the limit God? So I had to go back, take that one scripture and saying, okay, well, how did they limit God? Because if I can learn how they limited God, then I can learn, maybe there's areas in my life where I'm limiting God, or maybe there's things where I can take the limits off a little bit. And so I did a deeper study, came, you know, to Numbers 13, of course, which is the, you know, the study, you know, the story where Moses sent out the 12 spies into the promised land, and they spent 40 days in there spying out the land, and they came back, and 10, of course, had an ill report, and they said, you know, yeah, the land is flowing with milk and honey, just like God promised. However, they said, it's fortified, the cities are fortified, the people are huge, there's giants there, and we don't think we're able to do it. And so they, you know, then, you know, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that stood up and said, no, hey, we are well able. But in the end, Moses and all of the people decided that, no, we can't go in, we can't do this. Mm-hmm. And then Numbers 14, I believe it's verse 28, there's a verse in there that again leaped off the page at me, and I was like, oh my goodness. And that verse says, God is saying to Moses, tell the people, I will do to them as I've heard them say.
Wow.
And I thought, oh my goodness, what if God did to me what he heard me say?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Right. And so then I was like, okay, there's limitations that we place on our mindsets. the Israelites. We can dig through why did they feel like they weren't able to take the promised land. They had just seen God do miracle after miracle after miracle in the Red Sea. They saw the entire Egyptian army get wiped up, at the Red Sea. They saw manna dropping from heaven. Yeah. They were led by a pillar of fire and a cloud. They saw all of these miracles happen in the wilderness, and yet they didn't believe and limited God.
And they did.
And I thought, man, okay, so I have the ability to do the same thing. I limit God too.
So by your thinking, you set up fence lines.
So you set up fence lines. And then, that's written by David. Then Solomon, David's son, says this in Proverbs 4:23. And he says, above all else. Now, this is Solomon, the wisest man who's ever lived. So when he says, hey, above all else, in other words, this is the important thing. Pay attention to this. This is the most important thing.
Yeah.
He wrote over 3,000 proverbs, but yet he said this is the most important thing. He says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life.
Yeah.
And, we've read that or heard that 100 times, but I dug into that one. He's not talking about guard your organ, your physical organ, your heart. Because he says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart.
Yes.
So he is.
Yes.
There's something deeper in here. He's not talking about the mind. He's not talking about, our emotions. He's talking about something a little bit deeper. So, most scholars believe that when he's referring to the heart there, he's talking about the subconscious thinking. So he's saying, pay attention to your subconscious thinking because out of it flows the issues of life. Now, when I studied, the word issues of life and what that means, the Hebrew original word for that is actually a word that I'm not even going to try to pronounce. It's
Thank
in the
you.
Book. but it literally translates as borders on a territory or a fence line.
Yeah.
And so that's where the analogy of the fences
radical?
Came from.
That is so radical.
Yeah. The fence line came from is hey, above all else, pay attention to your thinking, your subconscious thinking in particular, because it's going to build a fence line around your life.
It just gives us such a graphic way to see how our thinking expands our limits the availability of God in our lives. So that's a good, excellent chapter.
Yeah. So that's kind of the foundation starting part of the book. And then we spend the rest of the book, diving into, okay, how do we expand the fence line now? Yeah. So if our thinking limits God, it's not that God is unable, unable to go beyond. He is more than able to go beyond that. But there's a limit that we put on ourselves and God being able to do that. An example of that is in Mark 6. Jesus, they put a limit on Jesus because they wouldn't, he couldn't do miracles in his hometown. It wasn't that Jesus' ability had changed.
Right.
That wasn't it. It was their ability
their
to
ability.
Receive. And their thinking and their perceptions of Jesus limited his ability to work in their lives. They could have seen the same miracles. I wonder how many sick people or how many people died within days of Jesus being there, knowing that their miracle could have been there if they had been able to change their thinking. So it's passages like that and going, okay, wow, okay, there's power in this. How do I take the limits off? How do I expand my fence line? And how do I let God do what God can do?
I think in rereading through the book again, there's so many nuggets in there to come back to over and over again, because it's not like a book you read, I've got that done. You really have to keep this thing in the forefront of your thinking.
Yes.
To see God do what he wants to do in your lives.
I'll let you in on a little secret. I reread the book multiple times as a reminder to myself. I'm trying to figure all this stuff out too.
I was reading that one chapter. I thought, this is so good. I have to go back and reread this again.
Yeah.
It's so good. Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
There's another chapter that you've entitled Heart Change versus Behavioral Modification.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds very highfalutin. But then you said that God created us more like thermostats than thermometers.
Okay.
So another great visual.
Yeah.
So dig into that and tell me what you really mean by that concept.
Yeah, well, a thermometer can only read the temperature in a room, whereas a thermostat has the power to set the temperature in the room. So we're supposed to set the temperature around us, and that's how God's created us,
right?
To set the temperature, not to be dictated by the temperature around us. So I think too many people, myself included, oftentimes live by the circumstances or things around us, and we allow the circumstances around us to set the temperature in our lives. We allow, for instance, in church, we allow the faith of somebody else or the atmosphere in the room to set the temperature for our spiritual hotness or not, you know, in that kind of stuff. And we allow to, oftentimes we live like, you know, thermometers where we're just reading the circumstances instead of dictating it. Yeah. And so the analogy there is, okay, a thermostat dictates the temperature. And what my point in that chapter was saying, hey, our heart thinking, what Solomon says, our heart thinking has the ability to set the temperature for our lives. And why not turn that thing up? And why not, let's go full on in that. Jesus said it this way in Luke 6:45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart.
Yes.
There it is again, in his heart.
And an evil man brings forth evil things stored in his heart. So in other words, if evil things are coming at me, it's coming out of Jesus saying, you know, we often say, well, I don't know, where did that come from? How did that, what happened there? Jesus saying, I know where it came from. It came from deep within your heart thinking. So if our heart has that kind of power, let's dial up the temperature. Let's set the temperature.
I think the book is challenging on a lot of levels. Mm-hmm. And I think the visuals that you've created with fences and thermometers and et cetera is really good because it gives you a visual to hold on to and to remember.
Right.
So I find it really, really awesome.
Very cool.
And again, you know that the church is the hope of the world.
Yes.
Because Jesus is our hope.
Yes.
And we're on this amazing mission to reach every available person.
At every available time.
At every available means.
With the gospel of Jesus Christ.
By creating churches that unchurched people love to attend.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Inside My Victory with Kelly Stickle. Kelly would like to answer your specific questions about church, leadership, and creativity in an upcoming podcast. You can send your questions to leadership@myvictory.ca. If you've been enjoying this podcast, a simple thing you can do is rate it, review it, and share it. It's a great way for you to help us equip more and more people who will build great soul-winning churches. Thank you again for joining us on the Inside My Victory podcast.